Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all. This is the day that the Lord has made for each and every one of us so that we may leave the things behind and focus on God's presence and God's intervention in our lives, that we may find God in the middle of the storm. And I pray that we will all hear the message that God has prepared for us this morning. This is, if I remember correctly, second time I preach on the same text with the same theme. But I'm going to go into a little more detail on why the storms, the southern storms were created over the Sea of Galilee. And we'll look at different aspects of our life as we reflect on that gospel lesson. Two ardent fishermen met on their vacation and began swapping stories about the different places they had fished, the kinds of tackle used, the best bait, and finally about some of the fish they had caught. One of them told of a vicious battle he once had with a 300-pound salmon. The other man listened attentively. He frankly admitted he had never caught anything quite that big. However, he told about the time his hook snagged a lantern from the depth of a lake. The lantern carried a tag, proving it was lost back in 1912. But the strangest thing of all was the fact that it was the waterproof lantern and the light was still lit. For a long time, the first man said nothing. Then he took one long last draw on his cigarette before rubbing it out in the ashtray. "I'll tell you what I'll do," he said slowly. "I'll take 250 pounds of my fish if you will put out the light in your lantern." Fish tales are tall tales. I mean, you have maybe told many fish tales or you have heard many fish tales. They are tall tales, having so much to do with people's wishful thinking. The tales are far from what actually happened. Life does not run the way people wish. There are too many variables over which people do not have any control. For this reason, people compare life with traveling on an open sea, which exposes how heavily people depend on the external conditions of nature. External conditions. Nothing to do with them traveling, but outside conditions. Internal areas that they can control are minuscule. Jesus calming the storm accurately describes is how weak we are and what the dominant force that keeps us on track is. Let's begin with the geographical and weather-related characteristics of the Sea of Galilee and look into fixed external conditions and why the sea is prone to sudden storms. You know, we call it a Sea of Galilee, but it's a freshwater lake located about 40 miles inland from the eastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea. The Sea of Galilee is the lowest freshwater lake in the world, about 700 feet below sea level. The main water source for the sea is the Jordan River from the north, which continued down south to the Dead Sea. Now, Dead Sea is the lowest salt lake in the world, 1,300 100 feet below sea level. So if you look at the map of Israel, the Jordan River flows from north to south, and in the middle is the Sea of Galilee, and then right at the bottom of it is the Dead Sea. Just flow through that way. And because you can tell, you know, it goes lower and lower, and Dead Sea is the lowest lake, salt lake in the world. Now, the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by hills and mountains on the west and Golan Heights. You have heard of the Golan Heights on the east. The hills of Galilee reach as high as 1,400 feet above the sea level, and Golan Heights more than 2,500 feet. These geographical characteristics make the Sea of Galilee a deep pocket of air. During the day, the air over the sea, it is heated up, but does not escape the sea easily because it is blocked by high elevations in its surroundings. Now, the air in the vast Mediterranean Sea is usually much cooler than in the inland, just like the air on the beach and in inland empires of Southern California. How does the air move? It moves from a cold region to a warm region, as we see a marine layer from the ocean move to the inland empires and onto the high desert. Therefore, cool air from the Mediterranean moves to the shore of Israel onto the Sea of Galilee. The distance from the shore of Tel Aviv, the shore of Israel, is western shore, to the Sea of Galilee is only 40 miles, which means the air stays cool until it reaches the western hills over the Sea of Galilee. And there is a big difference in temperatures between the air on top of the hill and the air on the surface of the Sea of Galilee. Cool air flows downward and hot air rises. The airstream of cool air over the western hill coming down on the steep slope, that is now, how long is that slope? About 1,400 feet high to the hill, and then the Sea of Galilee goes down below 700 feet below sea level, right? So it's altogether 2,100 feet, steep slope. And the hot air escaping fast from the Sea of Galilee. So let me explain the situation there. You know, the cool air from the Mediterranean Sea moves eastward to the shore and reach the Sea of Galilee. And when it reached there, it's only about 40 miles from the shore. So it still is cool, right? And when the air is heated during the day, there's a big difference in temperatures. The cool air on top of the hill and then hot air on the surface of the Sea of Galilee. And then the cool air moves down on the steep slope faster than usual because of the temperature difference. And then when it moves and meet the hot air, the speed increases and push the hot air out, and it's how the storm is created. It's the Sea of Galilee has the perfect condition for a sudden storm because of its geological location and then meteorological characteristic. So that's what happened when Jesus and his disciples were traveling. The Sea of Galilee combined three things together for a devastating effect: a storm, and that happens suddenly. And then, you know, I mean, think about it. If you meet this, face the storm in the middle of the lake, the lake is vast. It's not small. And let me give you how big that is. They call it a sea because of its size as well. It's about 13 miles long, 8 miles wide, and 33 miles in circumference, bigger than twice the size of the city of Yucaipa. Many of the disciples used to be veteran fishermen in the sea, but they lost the sense of direction in the storm and could not steer to the nearest shore because it's way too far away to any shore. And they knew they could not survive the storm and felt that the death was near. On the other hand, if you compare the size of the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean Sea, which is bigger, Mediterranean Sea is like probably, I didn't calculate it, but about 1,000 times bigger than the Sea of Galilee. And then, so that he has that amount, much amount of cool air over the Mediterranean Sea, moving toward the Sea of Galilee. The hills, the geographical structure of it aren't going to change, right? So the air movement from the vast Mediterranean Sea over the hill, down the slope, onto the Sea of Galilee makes a perfect condition for sudden storm. These external conditions, the size of the Mediterranean Sea, the cool air, the amount of cool air, the geographical structure of it, those are the external conditions. They decide weather pattern over the Sea of Galilee. And our life can be compared similarly to the Sea of Galilee because we are surrounded by so many external elements that are much bigger than us that decide what is going on in our life. We have the willpower and abilities to choose our path, but the external life conditions are much greater than we are, and we can never control them. Those external conditions surrounding our life makes our life prone to sudden storm, just like the Sea of Galilee is situated. The sudden storms comes unexpectedly, not because we do something wrong, but because all the greater forces out there surrounding us, we don't have any control over. And when it happens, we completely lose the sense of direction in the storm of life. And one very recent example, as we all know, is the COVID-19 that the whole world suffered for the, you know, 3 years, a little over 3 years, and then what is going on between Russia and Ukraine. What should we do when we face storm that is absolutely uncontrollable and that comes unexpectedly? I mean, you have experienced those unexpected storms many times before. I have experienced many times before. What should we do when we face those storms of life? And we have different ways to react to them. But the best attitude is found in what the disciples did. They woke Jesus up and cried out to him, "Teacher, do you care if we perish?" During the storms of life, we may feel the same way the disciples felt, that Jesus is asleep. A storm is about to engulf our existence from the face of the earth, but God does not seem to care for our crisis. Think about the disciples aboard the boat in the storm. They did not have anything. They couldn't see anyone that could rescue them, but Jesus on the boat with them. We may question God's love during life and death struggles, but no matter how hopeless we may feel in life storm, we need to remember two essential and undeniable facts about the storms. Number one, Jesus ride on the same boat with us. That's undeniable. You know, you are in the middle of the storm, it's like, oh, God does not care, maybe God has forgotten about me, I'm all by myself. That's what you think. But in the middle of the storm, you will find Jesus riding the boat with you. That's the fact of life, storm. And the second fact of life, storm, is Jesus is the only chance for our survival. Well, the disciples had only Jesus. There was nobody else, right? Then that's why they went to Jesus and said, "Teacher, do you care if we perish?" Jesus is the only chance. No matter how weak our faith is, how we understand the role of Jesus is, He is the only chance for our survival. I have believed in God all my life and have overcome countless storms by asking God's intervention. And this is something that I don't fully understand. How do those non-believers survive their life storm when they don't believe in God? Storms of life are beyond the scope of human strength and wisdom. We cannot tackle storms on our own. The best policy to handle storms is to get Jesus involved in them and let Him command the storms to calm down. That is the best way. A result of our plea to Jesus is quietness and peace. James David Ford, chaplain of the United States House of Representatives since 1979, told the following story about prayer to the Leadership Journal. In the spring of 1976, I sailed the Atlantic Ocean with a couple of friends in a 31-foot vessel. We sailed from Plymouth, England to New York, 5,992 miles. During the trip, we hit a real hurricane. Some of the waves were 35 feet high. And frankly, I was scared. My father had said, "Don't go. You have 5 children. Wait till they are grown." The hurricane went into its 33rd day, and I thought of my father's word about the children. I thought, why am I here? Was this thing that I thought was courage and adventure really just foolhardy? The skies were black. The clouds were scudding by. I wanted to pray for God to stop the storm, but I felt guilty because I'd voluntarily gotten into this. I didn't have to go across the ocean. Finally, I came up with a marvelous prayer, 7 words. Oh God, I had enough. Amen. Within half an hour of that simple prayer, the sky in the west lifted like a screen in a theater, and there was a blue sky. The condition of the disciples after Jesus was crucified was like a stormy night in the Sea of Galilee. No one expected that the life of their dear teacher would be abruptly cut short. They were fearful of the same accusation and the same capital punishment. When they met, they shut doors securely out of fear. But the risen Christ came and said to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus knew exactly what they were dealing with. They were so fearful, and Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Life is like a restless sea, which knows no calm. Our hearts often become anxious, frustrated, and agitated, frequently experience ups and downs. And Jesus is the only one who can calm us down with his peace. St. Augustine, in his confession, said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Peace of Christ is possible even in humanely impossible storms of life, because peace that Jesus gives is not like the peace the world gives, and the peace that Jesus gives transcends human understandings and human situations of any kind. One of my former parishioners suddenly suffered a stroke and had to adjust to a new life pattern. In the middle of adapting to his new physical condition, he shared with the whole church that he could feel God's peace as if he could touch and cut it. Peace of Christ is not abstract, but real. Our life resembled the Sea of Galilee, a perfect setting for unexpected storms. We may be very familiar with the storms of life, but can never master them. Just like those veteran fishermen in the Sea of Galilee could not. But we can serenely sleep through the storm and experience the peace of Jesus by simply trusting in his care. Amen.